mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
So are we just moving on to Trey Henderson then? Hendrickson, holy moly. Henderson. Harry and the Hendersons. Hendrickson, are we just moving on to him now as kind of the object of our desire? And it feels like this is how it goes, right? Like, Packers fans during the offseason, I feel like we did this last year as well. I feel like Xavier McKinney was one of those people where we were like, oh man, if the Packers could get Xavier McKinney, he would really be that piece that they are missing, that piece that Jeff Hafley wants. And then boom, Goody goes out and gets him. This year, obviously, Packers fans would love to be able to align themselves with Max Crosby. He's obviously probably not going to leave, and there have been other players as well that seems to be the case. So now we just kind of shifting our gaze, Gabe, to Trey Hendrickson as the guy who we feel could really upgrade this defensive line.
Yeah, the problem, comparing it to Xavier last year, the only thing we had to do was just kind of hold our breath through the franchise tag window. Okay, is he going to get franchised? What are they doing with Saquon? Because we knew he was scheduled to be a free agent. The problem with the three guys that are pass rushers is none of them are actually scheduled to be free agents. Whether it's Myles Garrett, who, again, based on all reporting coming out of Cleveland, looks like he's not going anywhere. Max Crosby, okay, let's see what they do there. And Jason mentioned it earlier when it comes to Max. Hiring Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, the first time he steps foot on a field this year, is going to be the oldest person to coach an NFL game. So that's not like a long-term hire, right? Like, you're not hiring him going, oh, this is going to take 5 years for us to turn this around. So maybe that changes Max Crosby of, oh, we've got a plan where we can be competitive and win now, and makes him want to stick around the Raiders. Trey Hendrickson is the newest one because, well, I mean, they've got their de facto GM saying we can't have guys at the top of the payroll at every position. We will do what we can. He's got 1 year left on his contract, asked for a trade at the beginning of the season. Like, yeah, maybe we're focusing our focus someplace else. But the only reason for that is because that seems like the most realistic guy that could actually be traded this offseason versus Crosby and versus Myles Garrett.
It's not happening on two fronts. The one front is Goody's not going to give up a second-round pick and then pay the guy more than Rashawn Gary. Okay, that's not his M.O., ain't going to happen. And number two, Cincinnati would be stupid to get rid of him because, Gabe, who was the team that no one wanted to play week 17 or week 16?
It was Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. So they're close. So for them to get close rid to of their what? Shining star.
Close to making the playoffs?
They almost made the playoffs.
Yeah, but they didn't.
I mean, some things had to happen.
Yeah, they're not close at all.
Say,
That team's not close at all. To winning a Super Bowl? That team's so far.
They're not close, but they're certainly a playoff team. They underachieved this year.
Except for they weren't.
I mean, Burrow might be the best quarterback in the NFL.
But he's not.
Yep.
Who's the best quarterback?
Patrick Mahomes.
Nah, that's all hype.
The guy only wins every game.
Okay, so here are some of the things, too. Here are some of the things that are contributing to the idea that he may not be long for the Bengals. They have to pay Jamar Chase. They also have let defensive stars Jesse Bates, DJ Reader, leave Cincinnati to get paid elsewhere. So there's a history here. To your point, he asked for a trade at the beginning of the 2024 season, sort of reading the tea leaves, seeing the writing on the wall, saying, oh, boy, I might be on the outside looking in here as far as getting paid what I believe, and to be perfectly honest, what the market dictates, he is worth. So to me, there are cracks that I think the Packers and their neediness can try to take advantage of here. To your point, obviously the first thing that has to happen is they have to figure out if they're going to bring him back. And it sounds like, just the verbiage that is out there, can't pay everybody top dollar. Well, you have said the same thing, Chu. You can't have a high position at everybody number one on the payroll list at each position. So it just feels like he might be a victim of circumstance a little bit in Cincinnati as well. Now, I do love your point about Rashawn Gary, and I had not given a single moment of thought to this until you brought it up this morning in the production meeting. The Rashawn Gary thing doesn't just hurt because of his lack of production. It hurts because if you bring somebody else in who has historically produced better, it's common sense that that player is going to want more. So what would realistically, Gabe, the Packers have to offer a Trey Hendrickson if they brought him in to boost that defensive line relative to Rashawn Gary's salary?
Yeah, that's the tricky part because, yes, he's been very good the last 2 years, 17 and a half sacks each of the last 2 years. So, I mean, I don't even know if Rashawn Gary's got 35 sacks total in his career. I mean, probably a deal comparable to in terms of the annual average value. Probably somewhere around Rashawn Gary, where it's going to be $25, $26 million per year. But again, like, that's all, with the NFL, like, that's all window dressing. Like, oh yeah, Jordan Love, yeah, he got this contract. He's getting, you know, 50, whatever it is, 55 and a half, 53, whatever it is, per year. His cap number this next year is like 35, right? Like it's yeah, what Gabe, is the cap number? What is the actual number you're paying somebody against the cap? That's the only thing that actually matters.
You're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth, though. In one instance, you're saying, ah, the cap doesn't matter, and, you know, they can make numbers do whatever. But on the other end, you're saying, oh, Henderson, they can't afford him because of the cap.
I'm not saying that. Their de facto general manager is saying that. I'm not the one saying that. I'm reading you a quote from their guy.
That.
And guess what, Chewy? Like, you know this. You've made fun of Cincinnati. You've been on Cincinnati's hit list since 2019
yeah,
when we started
Mike
this
Brown
damn
is,
show.
Mike Brown is cheap, but who do you think they would rather have, T. Higgins or Hendrickson?
I have no idea.
Because do you believe they're not getting rid of both?
No, they very well could get rid of both. That's a bad team. That's a bad team that makes bad decisions all the time. Just like last year, the Giants, oh, I mean, they'll clearly keep either Saquon or Xavier McKinney. Let both of them walk out of the door for nothing. Just one walk out of the door. Didn't franchise tag either one of them. Just let them walk out of the door. Teams,
no,
Chewy,
I
Chewy,
I
teams
agree.
Are littered. And you tell me this all the time. They are littered with bad coaching and bad general managers all over the league.
Is Cincinnati a good team?
No.
You guys are idiots.
They have good weapons. They have good pieces.
They missed the playoffs the last weekend of the regular season.
Yeah, so they were
and
the
there
eighth.
Were games in there. There were games in there that they should not have lost.
But they did
early on in the season.
But they did.
But they did. Correct.
They did. Yes. Like they missed the playoffs. They're the eighth best team in the AFC. Like yeah, if they've got in, they could have been that.
But if they
hot
had
team.
One more win, Gabe. If they had one more win. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah. Ifs and buts and candy and nuts, we don't have a Merry Christmas.
But I don't really even care, to be honest with you, about how good the Cincinnati Bengals are, prospectively. All I care about is if they're going to keep this guy and what it would take to get him. So, Gabe, what would it take to get him? Would they take a second round and a fourth rounder to get Trey Hendrickson?
Depends upon what the how many teams get involved in the bidding, right? Like, I think that's where it starts. Would I be shocked if eventually somebody offers a first-round pick? I wouldn't be shocked. Like, that would not be shocking to me if they're like,
the Packers
starts,
do it.
If no, the Packers wouldn't do a first round pick. But if you're not Chewy, if you're going to be the youngest team in the league back to back years, they don't have a lot of roster spots available. If they make their full selection of draft picks this year, not all those guys are going to make the roster. You can't. You don't have enough roster spots available. So what's the point of being the youngest team in the league if then you're not going to use some of that draft capital to go fill a hole that you desperately need because the guys that you drafted, you swung and missed on?
And I'll tell you another thing, guys. You got to be careful about other teams in the division, other teams in the NFC going out and getting a player like this, right? Like, the Bears would likely be interested in a Trey Hendrickson as well. Do you really want somebody like that going to a team you have to face twice a year that is hopefully, according to Bears fans, on the up and up? You know what I mean? Like, there are other teams that are going to be interested in this guy's services as well. Now, I'm not saying you overpay for that reason. I'm simply saying it's not as though the only options are him staying in Cincinnati or him coming to Green Bay. And I think, like, you got to be very conscious of the idea that he could go to one of those squads that could hurt you several times a season as well.
You know where else he could go, Jen? Because I'm just looking at cap space. You know who's number three?
Who's that?
Your Washington Commanders.
Mm.
They got a lot of money to spend.
And they need help on defense.
And the Packers look to be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14th in cap space. And the teams in front of them that are close, Lions have more cap space, Niners have more cap space, the Vikings have more cap space, the Chargers have more cap space, the Commanders have more cap space. Those are teams that are trending in the right direction. So, I'm just saying, Yes. Would it be nice? It would be wonderful. It would be great. Goody's MO, if I was to put money down, I'd say, nyeh.
I hate the idea that Goody would not, and again, I don't know this to be true. Again, we're just reading tea leaves here, but that Goody would not be interested in a guy like this who has been successful on a bad defense, right? So you can make the argument he's not getting a lot of help elsewhere, not getting a lot of other guys who are making plays. But because he is 30 years old, that there might be a hesitation, there might be a pause in that. Like, there's always exceptions. You know, look at my face. Look at my face. Look at his face. Do I look 44 to you? Do I look like I'm 44 years old and I'm on television? There's an exception. You got executives in TV who might not want to put a 44-year-old lady on television, but you know what?
That was an all-time booby trap just set by you.
Yep,
I know. All-time. Especially when we're just saying, hey, let's just be honest and tell people no.
Okay. I was just going to be quiet.
Good
I was just going to
I ain't taking the bait.
Everybody
was going to be sitting here in silence.
That this is not the face of a 44-year-old, okay? I don't know what we're trying to pull right now. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and get back to, I don't know, some normalcy right after this.
You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and clearly there's a reason for it. When it comes to premium quality frozen pizza, nobody does it better than Palermo's because they've been doing it here in Wisconsin for 60 years. So when it comes to Palermo's, we're not just talking about one brand. No, we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, and that's just to name a few. So there's a crust, a sauce, toppings, flavors out there for everyone in your family. So just keep a couple different types in the freezer. Tuck them away. That way, when you have a busy day, you want something that tastes great, but you don't want to put that much effort into making it, that's where Palermo's comes in. Pull it out of the freezer, pop it in the oven, and you're going to be set. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
Check off. I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. What? He put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you ever been close to tragedy? Close to folks who have?
The coaching carousel continues to roll, to spin. And Green Bay is involved. So we saw the changes yesterday. Sean Mannion promoted to quarterback's coach. And DeMarcus Covington was hired as the defensive line coach. I don't know anything about DeMarcus Covington. Patriots is apparently where he came from. I'll have to read up on him and get a little more insight. Again, not that I really like can glean much from reading a guy's resume or reading a guy's bio. I suppose you can see how much success, relative success he had with the units that he was coaching. But every team is different. There's different ingredients. So we will see how that shakes out. The one that is interesting, though, guys, is the departure of Campanelli, who got a job yesterday. And we talked to Jason Wilde earlier this morning. Here's what Jason had to say about Campanelli getting a job elsewhere.
Jason, how big of a blow is Campanelli?
I think it's a huge blow, Chewy. Like, you know, how you feel about Andy Reid, I think that's how those linebackers feel about Campanelli. And what I was really impressed with him in talking with Quay Walker and talking with Edgerrin Cooper and Eric Wilson is that while he was, you know, he kind of came in with this reputation because of that viral clip from Hard Knocks where he's dropping F-bombs and doing this whole spiel to his Dolphins linebackers. He that was kind of a misrepresentation of his coaching style. And he and I actually talked about something that I firmly believe in coaching, which is you treat everyone fairly, but you don't treat everyone exactly the same. And, you know, he really understood how to connect with his guys.
Campanelli going to the Jaguars to be the defensive coordinator. Your reaction to this move, Gabe?
Yeah, and based on what Jason has said and with that clip, like this is going to be a tough guy to replace. There's a reason why he is now being elevated as a defensive coordinator elsewhere. And the one thing I feel like in the years that I've now been doing the show with Chewy, I feel like as a fan, I underrate how good, though, you know, how much those coaches matter, right? We focus on the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, but those positional coaches are just so important. And if you have a really good one and they get let go, it'd be different. Like, Chewy, when you have told us before, when Mike Sherman took over as the tight ends coach, you were pretty established at that point, and he gave you the clicker and went, hey, teach us how to play tight end. The Packers linebackers, as excited as we were for Edgerrin Cooper a year ago, as many splash plays and winning defensive player of the week and all the different things that he did, like, whoever they hire to be the new linebackers coach isn't going to go, hey, Edgerrin, show us how to play linebacker. Like, he's still young. He's still developing. Same thing with Quay Walker. It's a young group, and the development of them is going to be really important for the continued development of this defense. So having somebody that they trusted leave, and now it's going to be a big hire. Who do you get to replace them that is going to be able to instill them with the confidence that they were given this past season?
Yeah, it's tough because on the offense and defensive side, they don't listen to every coach. Some coaches are babysitters. And, you know, through my tenure there, there were a share of babysitters. But this sounded like a guy that Halfley leaned on and listened to and understood the game. I like his coaching style. You know, Andy was kind of the same way. Because I started as a third tight end and worked my way up to the starter, right? And Andy approaches it differently. That's what I think Jason was trying to say. So as a third tight end, you know, when I was young, you're not as good yet as the starting tight end. And good coaches understand that. They still expect the standard to be very high as opposed to, you know, your starter. And it was refreshed because I didn't think he was that kind of a coach. I thought he was kind of a rah-rah coach, which some guys listen to, some guys don't. But Andy's way of doing it when I was a starter is we'd watch film. He'd just say things like, well, what did you see there? And I knew what he was saying. He's like, you screwed up, but what did you see? You know, and then I would explain to him what I saw, and then he would explain to me what I should have done. That's a good coach. Not jumping in and going, this is horrible. This is stupid. What are you doing here? You know, teach. Coaching is all about teaching. You know, how do you want to be taught? And you know, sounds like the guy was a hell of a coach.
Six seasons as a high school coach in New Jersey. Then he went to the college ranks where he was at Rutgers and Boston College and Michigan. Then he went to Miami. We know he's with the Dolphins. Packers were seventh in the NFL in rushing defense last year. As much as we complained about the pass rush, the run defense was much better. And again, it could only go up, really, is where it was coming from and how much it had struggled previous to that. But I got to think that the linebacker play, Campanelli by extension, was a big reason why. So to me, Gabe, it's how do you continue that success? Whoever comes in there, we want them to be building on whatever Campanelli was doing with these young linebackers who obviously really popped this year on the defensive side.
Yeah, that's why it looks like they're probably just going to hire within from this spot, right?
Which is kind of what they do, isn't it?
Well, yeah, except for the case of the defensive line coach, right? Like, they're getting rid of him, bringing somebody else in with different ideas of, okay, how can we improve here? But when you lose somebody because they've been successful, I think promoting from within, kind of like they did at the quarterback coach position, okay, Tom Clements moving on, we're going to promote Sean Mannion. Okay, Anthony Campanelli, you're moving on, we're going to promote within because we have people who are in the room with you and can try to continue some of those same ideas that you had with a little twist of them.
I do wonder, though, if Halfley being from the outside last year, Chew, makes it more likely that he goes and gets another guy that was sort of on his coaching roster that maybe he wasn't able to give an opportunity to, right? Because obviously, Campanelli worked with Halfley at Boston College, and he is not is the timeline off there. I'll have to look and see how the timeline shakes up. Campanelli was there from 2016 to 2018. That might have been before Halfley was there, actually. But the point is like Halfley may have a list of guys that he wants to give an opportunity to who he has worked with at other places before and just couldn't get on this year's coaching roster, right?
These coaches all have trees, you know. They all have trees, and I'm sure he has someone in mind if he's not going to promote from within, you know. Because I look at my son, who's at Tennessee State. He probably has 1, 2, 3, four. He has five trees, you know. So you're just in the pecking order, you know. If that tree loses a leaf, then he goes, all right, you're next up in line. So I'm sure Halfley has a guy. I don't know if he's going to be as good as Campanelli right away, but I'm sure he already has a guy in mind.
Yeah, Tom Silverstein reporting that Sean Duggan, who's a defensive assistant who was with Halfley at BC, is the leading candidate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So somebody that he was with before, who he also brought with him to fill out his staff here in Green Bay. Do we give too much credit to this stuff? Like, there's a lot of times, guys, and it feels a little weedsy, if I'm being honest with you, talking about linebackers coach, wide receivers coach, defensive line coaches. This happens every year where there is some movement on the teams. Does it really have a big effect? Or is it one of those things that after the fact you go, oh, that unit struggled. Maybe that guy wasn't as good as we thought he was.
I don't think we give enough credit to it. That's the one thing I've learned. Like, before working, I knew Andy Reid was a good coach, right? For example, I knew Andy Reid was a good coach because he's had success as a head coach, whether it was in Philadelphia and now having all the success that he had in Kansas City. I had no idea that he was that instrumental as a tight ends coach to Chewy. Had no idea. Like, so that's
But what do they do? That's how it works. Like, when we lost Mooch in 94, Mooch is a hell of a coach. He was a quarterback's coach, right? And I knew that I was going to lose. I probably knew before Andy knew that I was going to lose him to quarterback's coach, right? So you take good coaches, because the pecking order on offense is this, obviously. It's O-coordinator, O-line coach, quarterback's coach, receiver's coach, running back's coach, tight end's coach. That's the progression. So you bump guys up to your most important spots, and then you backfill the lower spot. Like, that's why Mike Sherman had never – Andy goes to quarterback coach. Mike Sherman comes in, had never been in the NFL. He was the O-line coach at Texas A&M forever. You know, so then they bring him up. Probably to the lowest. I don't think it's the lowest rung anymore, but when I played, it was the lowest rung. And then what happened to Sherman? Holmgren goes to Seattle. Mike Sherman, very, very good coach. Holmgren takes him as offensive coordinator to Seattle. That's how it climbs up the system.
Yeah, so I think all these things are important. Now, is it as important as Jordan Love developing? No. But Sean Mannion is going to have a huge hand in developing Jordan Love to being the best quarterback that he possibly can be. We may not pay attention to that much, and yes, I think it is really weedsy, but I think these things are really important, especially when you have a young team like the Packers do.
Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It's a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue with dozens of self-service betting kiosks and, of course, the giant video wall over 2,000 square feet. When we were there for the weekly wager on Wednesday night, guys, I think I counted like 11 basketball games going on at once. Take your pick. Pay attention to whichever or all of them, if you like, at Potawatomi Casino, at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. They've really figured it all out. Bet above the rest, only at Potawatomi.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy. On 94.5 ESPN.
I really feel like the worst part of missing out on Fridays here with you guys, it's not your beautiful faces. It's not your salient points.
Faces again.
It is We Can Reach You. Let's go.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
Oh, boy.
How you feel, big guy?
Great.
Glug, glug, glug with the water today.
But again, he keeps cramping up on his hamstring.
That's a very good point. That's
so
very
I think
we need to change the approach, maybe.
Solution is probably just more water.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Try a banana.
I think Joshy is actively working on getting you a sponsorship, an endorsement deal with Chiquita. Uh-huh. We're going to call it Chiquita.
Not a big banana fan.
Well, for the right price, you could be. All right, here we go. We got five questions. You get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. Let's go ahead and dive into it, big guy. Question one with the audio clip.
No, because girls don't have that.
What did you erroneously claim does not happen to women? What did you erroneously claim does not happen to women?
Look at his face. Man, if you're not streaming the show on YouTube, you're missing out.
I literally have no idea. Women don't have them? Well, I mean, other than the obvious, I have no idea.
You claimed earlier this week that women do not have sex dreams.
Oh, they don't.
I'm really debating how to handle this. Because on one hand...
Sure, there's the truth.
But on the other hand, there's the husband.
I think that's all you need to know there, big guy. All right, 0 for 1, off to a rough start. Question number 2.
That was maybe the most Horicon thing you've ever said in your entire life.
What was the most Horicon thing I have ever said?
The highlight of your high school career was getting your license and driving to school.
There you go. Got the question right.
Craig wanted to bring it back, too.
Yeah, and then you suddenly had my back, which I appreciated.
That was the layup of all layups.
Yeah, that was a layup. That was to get me on the board.
Yes.
Needed it this week for you. You've been a little ornery since you can't work out. All right, let's just be honest.
Monday's a big day.
You going to test it out?
I think I'm good to go.
All right. All right.
And I cured myself.
It's the fifth runaround of this.
I cured myself.
You know, it's trial and error.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out. All right, pivotal question number 3. Joshy?
Oh, punter? Kicker? Oh, the kicker. I don't even know his name.
What is the kicker's name?
Oh!
McManus.
Whoa!
Yes, Brendan.
So better. You got it right.
Jeopardy rules,
correct.
You just need the last name.
Exactly, 100%. Brendan.
His name's Brandon.
Stepbrothers.
Oh, same thing.
But yes, Brandon McManus is the name of the Packers kicker.
Okay.
All right, you're 2-1. Just got to get one of the last two correct. Question number 4.
Never heard of him.
Who will be performing the Super Bowl halftime show next Sunday?
0% chance.
Shakira.
That would be Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Shakira?
Oh, I was close.
Not even a little bit.
SZA and Shakira? That's
Shakira?
Close.
Shakira?
It's not a person either.
Sounds like a spice.
The funny thing about Shakira is her most famous song says, Shakira, Shakira.
It's true.
Who was it? I thought Kendrick Lamar was a comedian. No?
That's Kent Drake. That's a Canadian. I think that's what you're going for.
No, I said comedian.
Comedian.
Kendrick Lamar.
He said Canadian.
Are you thinking Kevin Hart?
No, it's just the name sounds like it's a comedian, not a singer.
No. Okay, then.
He won't be doing much singing
the other
either.
What does Mark Chimura sound like? A football player or a moron?
Why not both?
Kind of both. A moronic football player.
Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar. Say it.
Kendrick Lamar.
There we
and
go.
SZA. Yeah. Scissor. Is it S-I-S-S-A?
It's worse.
All right. You ready for this, Chew?
No, we're not good with letters this morning. Maybe we stay away.
S-Z-A.
That spells SZA?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Wasn't expecting you to.
0% chance when that one came out.
You know what else I'm not going to do?
Win?
Watch the halftime show.
Watch the halftime show.
All right, here we go, Chew. Last question. You get it right, you win. You get it wrong, you lose. Joshy?
I don't tread water.
Plus, okay? You tell me.
I either drown or I swim across the English Channel.
What franchise did you compare the Packers to that led to that analogy? Which franchise did you compare the Packers to that led to that analogy?
Was it football?
Well, I mean, you're comparing a franchise to the Packers, so I think that would be, you know, a safe place to start.
Plus, it's the only sport you know, so.
He got it. Did he really?
San Fran?
Yeah, he said it.
The San Francisco 49ers
Explain
is correct.
I don't remember.
I don't know why.
Remember when he came back from break and said who's been more disappointed the past seven years?
And Packers fans or 49ers
fans? And then we kind of ended up in a roundabout, like, well, they made it to the Super Bowl but lost. And
Packers haven't even been there.
Right, and then we debated, well, second place is first worst, which he said the segment previous.
First or last,
but
yeah,
didn't apply to this specific scenario for him. It was a lot.
Wild ride.
Yes.
Typically is.
But he got it right. That means he wins.
Didn't feel like a win, though, right?
I did give you a layups, a couple.
I mean, but he also gave him some tough ones. You know, like, I mean, there was no chance he was getting Kendrick Lamar in
no,
SZA.
I knew that one.
Yeah, that was like the safety in the back pocket. Chewy cannot go undefeated this week. He's not getting all five right.
Yeah. That's still pretty impressive, dude.
I feel good. I feel okay. I can go into the weekend now. Frankie's already reached out.
Oh, well, what are you going to tell him?
Oh, he's good tonight.
Yeah, last night was the issue, right?
Yeah, and Saturday. I'm not doing anything Saturday.
See, but here's the thing. You always say, oh, I'm not doing this. Oh, I'm doing dry January. Oh, I'm doing this. And then Friday and Saturday roll around, and we get some video of you out and about
thank
somewhere.
Thank you. I was just going to bring up Gasparilla or whatever festival you were at last weekend where some lady almost flashed you in the video.
I never saw that either.
Joshy saw it right away.
First thing Josh noticed.
I mean, Joshy's like,
no, I pivoted. There's nothing wrong with a pivot. I just pivoted from dry to damp.
Yeah, you pivot a lot on your weekends.
You're Mr. Pivot over here.
I feel like he's being coerced. I feel like there's some coercion.
There's a setup.
Seems like there's a formula to get Chewy to agree to things.
Wait, I don't want to skip over this. The fact that, Chew, you didn't see that the lady flashed you in the video, does that mean you're losing a step?
Yeah.
I mean, Joshy was right away like, was that a nipple?
Hold on. hold on. When you video, you don't look at your phone. You look past what you're videoing.
Nope.
Videoing.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not how that works.
No. In fact, you're a liar.
No,
When
I have done what you are saying, Chew, which is you're videoing, but you're looking at the subject instead of
correct.
It through the viewfinder of your phone, I've missed an entire floor routine for Layla. I showed her the video, and she goes, where am I? And I was like, oh. I was watching it with my eyes, baby girl. And she's like, now we don't have video of it, Mom. I'm out on that. You got to look at it through the camera.
Yeah, that's how you end up with bad filming or pictures, because you aren't looking at what your camera's capturing.
Correct. Yes.
I mean, I didn't go back and look at the video. I just forwarded it to you guys.
Well, that was clear, because you would have mentioned the woman lifting her shirt. Which to me felt like very obvious. She was dead center of the screen.
Noticed that you were videoing.
Yes.
And whoop.
Yes.
Up came the shirt.
Mardi Gras.
So do I have to give her beads?
I think the moment has passed.
Yeah.
Had you given her beads, I'm guessing your wife wouldn't have been happy.
Yes. But she was sitting right there too, and she didn't see it.
Did you at least go back and watch it on the video and see what Joshy was talking about?
No, I deleted it.
Oh my
clogs
goodness.
Your phone up.
Clogs your phone up.
It does.
No, it's called deleting the evidence is what he was doing.
That's
like, clogs your phone up is just a great excuse for, I don't want this on my phone on the off chance my wife sees it. All right, let's take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap things up for the week right after this. Tune in to the Analysis Show every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. The NASA is on to Tecumpo hanging out with special guests for fun and surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of his other unique guests. You can find the Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can subscribe to the Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah,
you want
some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
it's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Is no, I don't feel like it tonight a good enough answer to get out of plans with friends? I'll tell you, that line has been used to get out of other things. I know that. No, I don't feel like it tonight.
Headache involved. <Yeah. laughs>
You guys know. You guys
Ate
know.
Too much dinner.
80% of people are saying yes. It is a perfectly acceptable response when someone asks you to do something. And Gabe says, y'all are a bunch of liars.
Well, at the very minimum, they don't practice what they preach.
Yeah. This
is more of a hopeful.
Yeah.
Right. This is aspirational for some people is what I'm sensing here.
Idealistic, yeah.
Again, try it. Let us know. Come back to us with the reaction. If you have no friends after you try this, then it is not a reasonable and effective response when you actually don't want to do something. Again, we're all for honesty, but a lot of people take it personally when you say you don't want to do stuff with them.
I do have to admit, I'm practicing that this weekend myself. Now, granted, it's Mussolini and her friends that are planning to do something, and I gave them a two-week warning that I won't be doing that for no other reason than I do not want to.
Again, you are also the person who has just left the group.
Yes.
Because you're like, nope, I'm done.
That's
see you
enough.
Later.
I've had enough. Good to go.
Why? Are they annoying?
No, it's just I don't want to day drink in the cold, which is not what I want to be, because there'll be Mitten Fest will be happening this weekend in Milwaukee, which is all around the idea of Mitten, of standing outside in the cold and drinking, which it's a great event. Fine. If it was 40, 50, I'd probably go.
Like
it's
it was
going to be on Sunday, though. Sunday, high of 46.
It's a Saturday event.
Dang it.
Yeah.
And tomorrow's going to be cold.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Low of 23, high of 32. Yeah. Just pulled up the old weather app.
I'm out there freezing my beans off.
It will be Saturday, National Marquette Day, so you will see many of the Marquette people out there getting all greased up, because what time does the game start?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Even more reason to stay home.
We know how you feel about the Marquette community.
Just
Josh.
Wanted to make sure.
Made that very clear over the years. So, Gabe, you'll be handling some of the Marquette duties?
Yep, going to be hanging out at El Cherbo before the game. I'm sure that place is going to be packed. It keeps getting busier and busier before Marquette games, because it's where the hangout is before every game. It should be fun. Look, I mean, having National Marquette Day at 7 o'clock.
Like, against UConn. Oof.
This is like, Chewy, this would be like Wisconsin playing Ohio State on homecoming, and they decided to kick it off at 6:30.
Going to be a rager?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People are going to... The atmosphere inside Fiserv Forum is going to be pretty electric, I would assume.
You guys watching the Pro Bowl?
No.
Will you watch any of it?
0%.
I'd rather pull my fingernails out. With a pliers.
But Josh, you're not doing anything. Sounds like you're just going to sit
either,
in the game.
Either are they.
Right? They're playing touch football.
Well, that was a really good game. I mean, the Horicon thing was good yesterday, but that was really good.
Are you watching the Pro Bowl? You're telling me you're going to watch the Pro Bowl over the Super Bowl? I'm supposed to believe that?
I could drive over there. It's only an hour and a half.
Whoa, but you won't.
Oh, hell no.
You threaten to do a lot of things, but when you find out it's not outside your front door, you go nowhere.
Yeah. No chance.
Like earlier this week, I would love to go up to a press conference. I will drive you. I will drive
right,
you up there.
Right. I'm
going
to ask
you
all these tough questions. I'm going to put them on the spot, make them answer me. Yeah. And we're like, okay. Well,
we will do everything to make this as easy as possible.
A lot of
for
blustering
you.
Is what's happening there.
Hot okay, air.
Just do it over Zoom.
Hey, Chewy's got some tough questions. He really wants to rake you guys over the coals, but he's going to do it from the laptop. Do you think part of the intimidation factor is you being there in person, giant hunk of a human?
It helps. Yeah. I'd get thrown out.
Yeah, and guess what? I'd be happy to take you after your two questions and you get tossed.
You think I'd hog all the questions, Gabe, kind of Holmgren style?
Of course you would. And every last reporter would let you hog it because of, again, the size of the human you are.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, okay, so just to be clear, Chu, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, Frankie just invited me to lunch.
You have a lunch planned?
You know what that means.
I do have no idea what that means.
You can figure it out.
Yeah. Josh, you want to fill him in on what that means?
Well, I mean,
it's not so much the lunch.
Liquid lunch.
I mean, tomorrow starts February, so damp January can end for our big guy.
That's true. I thought you were talking about...
What did I text him back? So he sent that. I guess I wasn't really honest.
Interesting.
I say, well, this is what... Can we call one another Corker?
Yep.
Right? And he definitely talk text. Corker, what are you doing? Are you watching reruns of Seinfeld? That was a shot. Thanks to my wife. We're going to go downtown for lunch today. That's a lie. There's no lunch involved. Want to meet us down there. Just finishing up the show, I'll let you know if I'm going to go down. I got to go to the gym and run a few errands. If I can't meet you for lunch, I'll meet you later on for drinks. So was that a lie?
Well, you tell me.
Was the lie the errands?
Yeah, what errands do you have to run?
Don't really have any.
Hey, I'm not Maury Povich, but I think we know where that stands, pal. Have a great weekend, everybody. Wildy and Tasha's next on ESPN Milwaukee. Go Marquette!